Everybody, it's that time of the week again. It is episode 18 of the Centre Circle podcast. It's just the two of us this week, and joining me is my Celtic cousin, David.
How's it going, lads?
And this week, it's getting to the end of that transfer deadline. Yep.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's close enough. It's about a month away now.
I was questioning my own dates there, and I'm like, wait, did it pass? No, it's not passed because...
it's September.
The Pogba saga is still going on, which as a United man, you've probably got thoughts on, but to the rest of the world, it's just looking like they're ripping the piss out of you.
Well, it's not even that. It's just this story is getting to the stage where it's bloody exhausting being a United fan, just sitting on the emotional roller coaster that is waiting on a transfer rumour to actually become reality. And it's just stirring up some real... It's almost a mixture of anger and excitement about this whole deal, whether it's going to go through. But the one winner of this of all this hype has to be his agent, Mino Raiola. I mean, he's pretty much been taking United on a leash at the moment. He has been the agent for Ibrahimovic. He's the agent for Mkhitaryan. And he's the agent for Paul Pogba. And he's just... I think he's raking in the agent's fees at the moment. He is getting the best deal possible. He's the real MVP in this situation. I think he's racked up something like 5-6 million, maybe even more than that.
Yeah,
millions of euros in agent fees.
I think his children and his children's children are going to fondly look back at this transfer window and pray to Ed Woodward.
He loves to stir up hype. That's what he's been really much doing this entire transfer window.
But that's his job.
Oh, no, it's his job. But
he's very good at his job.
He's very good, I have to agree with it. But it gets to that stage where you're just stirring up cryptic nonsense on Twitter about the media acting as parrots and, you know, regurgitating stuff that probably is all speculation. And he's just shoving it down people's throats, and it's sending the social medias into absolute overdrive.
Their social medias.
Yeah, I mean, Twitter.
Those socials medias.
Yeah. You know, the Twitters, the Facebooks, the Instagrams, all of that.
And those kids playing their Pokemon Goes.
Oh, maybe we've come a long way, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
The end is nigh.
I really do think, though, that Pogba is a player that is not worth what Man U are going to pay for him.
No player is worth a nine-figure sum. It's simple fact. Unless you're Lionel Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo, you are not worth a nine-figure sum.
Is how much did you guys get the guy whose name I always mess up?
Mkhitaryan.
Mkhitaryan, is that it? Because I thought it was Mkhitaryan.
I think we got him for something like 29 to 30 million pounds.
See, I rate him above Pogba. I think he's exactly what Man U need, whereas Pogba is a luxury buy. But I did say this years and years ago when they bought Rio Ferdinand. So, you know.
It's certainly going to drive one of the players in midfield out. I'd say Schweinsteiger is on his way out. Fellaini, the speculation about him probably dying down about Moyes trying to re-sign him. But you have so many midfield options for United. You have Carrick, you have Fellaini, you have Herrera.
Personally, I think Herrera or Carrick should be the one to go.
I don't think Herrera should go. Carrick is aging, but I still think he has a lot of... You know, he's one of those midfielders who just stays with you. Whereas Bastian Schweinsteiger has been plagued by injury, and I think the intensity of the Premier League is just too much for him. And he's just not fitting into Mourinho's philosophy.
If you asked me who to keep, though, between Carrick, Schweinsteiger, I'm always going to go Schweinsteiger. I genuinely don't see why Schweinsteiger shouldn't still be at United.
It's just the aging effect of midfielders now. You have to keep your midfield young. You have to keep them fully fit all the time because that's where the most intensity comes.
I think he's going to be doing a lot more of a deeper role, though, at Man United. I think he's going to be who was it? I want to say, do you know how the SEN role that that Jose did in the his first goal at Chelsea? I think that would be an ideal place for him. I think he could shine in that position.
Maybe if he were about 3 years, 4 years younger, but he's getting to that age now where he just can't hack it. He can't keep up. And I don't really think he had the best of seasons last season. I know he's been out through injury, but those injuries are coming back to haunt him, and it's kind of weighing down on his overall career. I don't think he's cut out for the Premier League anymore. Maybe at a lower team, but not Manchester United and not under Mourinho.
I don't know. I think he's got the potential to be that spine, that solid counterpoint in a United squad, looking especially at the signings that's been made.
Well, as much as I like to keep him, I just don't think Mourinho is going to be... He sees him as dead weight in the team, and I think with the midfield options that we have already, if Pogba comes in, there's just not going to be a place for him anymore.
But looking at all the... Pogba included in this, looking at all the other midfield options that aren't Schweinsteiger, they're all creative going forwards. I think Schweinsteiger is that one kind of rock midfielder left in the Man United dressing room.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard. I mean, if I were the manager, I'd probably hold on to him too, but I just don't think it's going to convince Mourinho to keep it on with him.
But
going back to Paul Pogba about being worth 100 million, I've seen comparisons on social media which are almost borderline retarded, saying that he's going to emulate Paul Scholes. I mean,
I don't think he's going to emulate anyone. I think he's going to emulate a
Paul
flop Scholes personally.
On his own is Paul Scholes. He is a role within himself. Paul Pogba is not going to replicate Paul Scholes. It's simple as that. Diego Forlan actually quoted in the week that if Pogba is worth 100 million euros, Paul Scholes should be worth 20% more than that. Because, I mean, if you compare the two, who would you pick, Pogba or Scholes?
I'd always go Scholes, and you know what? I don't find myself agreeing with Forlan very often, so it's kind of... No. It's nice to see.
No, it's all the hype on social media about Paul Pogba's going to bring success to United. We're going to win the Premier League this season. We're going to win the Champions League this season, although that's technically impossible because we're in the Europa League. But
looking into my crystal ball, though, I think Man United are winning the league this season, but I think Pogba's going to be a flop.
I don't want to say he's going to be a flop. I think he's going to be a good team. He's going to be a good player in an already solid team. I don't think he's going to outshine the rest of the players at United this season, unfortunately. He's going to be one of those players who doesn't quite make the top. He's not going to be Ballon d'Or quality anytime soon. I wouldn't even rate him in the top three midfielders in the world at the moment. But I still think he will be good, but just not quite good enough. I don't want to say he's overrated, what Lineker said during Euro 2016, but like, I think he's just overhyped quite a lot, and I'll only believe that hype once I see it with my own eyes, and when Pogba's back in a United shirt, that I will actually see those results come on for 100 million euros. It's quite a lot. Quite a lot of pressure on him as well.
To continue, though, Juventus transfer drama, Higuain, who left... And not the best terms by not even phoning the manager or his teammates or telling anyone that he was gone. He was already on the plane before they knew.
It's a bit of a dick move by Gonzalo in my opinion.
Yeah, it very surprised me actually, because you always saw him like he seemed to have a connection with the fans there. So
yeah,
to blow them off like that.
I mean, money talks at the end of the day, and. I mean, Juventus just swooped in and got him for £76 million. I think it's a very good signing for Juventus.
Oh, beautiful
but
signing.
But I'm just saying that Higuain did it in the wrong terms.
And he's also took a massive hit to his reputation, I think, because from now on he's always going to have that reputation as a mercenary.
Yeah, absolutely.
See if he had done it like he had some kind of send-off or something like that. I think they wouldn't have been happy about it, because obviously he's going to Juventus. But the only thing that could be worse is if Maradona somehow became Juventus manager.
Nah, that's not going to happen. But I'm just saying the partnership between Dybala and Higuain will make them a Champions League winning side. I can definitely see them winning the Champions League this season. They've made a lot of good business over the summer.
I hate Dybala so much. Well, why do you hate Dybala? Football Manager.
You hate him on Football Manager, but I mean, you can't really argue he's going to be the next best thing in football terms.
Oh,
yes.
He's this year's Gareth Bale for me in Football Manager, so that little bit of experience with him in Football Manager kind of sinks through to me watching him play in real life.
He's a good player. I think it's a good connection between the two Argentinians up front. Whether or not Allegri is going to play with two strikers, but
I think Higuain will teach him a lot as well.
Absolutely. I mean, it's certainly going to be, you know, they're going to mould together very nicely, and they've so much depth now in their team. It's hard to see them not winning the Champions League this season.
Juventus are probably one of the most scariest side in the world right now. I'd maybe back them against Barca 2 out of 3.
It's a gutsy move, but I'm just saying, I think we'll see a repeat of the 2014 final between the 2015 final between Juve and Barca.
That would be a much better game now, and I'm sticking by it. I think 2 out of 3 times Juventus would take that.
I would say so.
I think they've got that hardiness at the back that you need to go up against a creative team like Barcelona.
You see, their defence is their weakest point, I think.
Yeah,
but I think with the addition of Umtiti at Barcelona, they'll be a lot more solid at the back.
I think Juventus are willing to put that boot in, though, and play that kind of dirty way.
Oh, no, absolutely. But I think
that's what you need to do against Messi, Neymar, Suarez. Neymar does not like getting the boots put in him.
I'm going to make a bold prediction. I think this year will be a downfall for Lionel Messi.
Really?
I think with all the talk over the summer about his tax evasion, his retirement from internationals, I think it will all come back to haunt him. Not to mention his ugly hair. I'm sorry, but who goes blonde these days? It looks ridiculous.
Apparently everyone.
Jumping on the bandwagon as usual.
I remember when I was younger, my brother done that when he was 16. Went like Eminem blonde.
Yep, peroxide blonde. I was there as well.
That was the thing when me and you were 12, but when Chris was 16. And I'm trying to think, what's the stupidest thing I done with my hair? Do you remember when Freddie Ljungberg had like the full Viking mohawk?
Yep.
I had a pink mohawk when I was 9.
Oh, I need to see a picture of that.
I could actually go see if I've got one, but I would have to go through like my trophy, because that's when I was playing in goals and when, you know.
We should just share that to all the listeners out there, the lucky people who are listening.
If I find it, I will share it. I think I've got a picture of it when it was Scottish Cup semi-final.
I mean, I would find my peroxide hair, but it's disappeared off my laptop. Nobody will see it anymore.
The thing is, the picture I'm thinking of isn't when it was like super long mohawk. It was like that wee small one, so it wouldn't be as impressive, but
it just looked cringy either way.
At the time, it's what was in, man. But speaking of impressive, it's time for Man of the Match. And we've both picked L's this week.
Who wants to go first?
I'll talk about Pierre-Michel Lasoga. He's German, so I don't know why I put that accent on it. But, yep, I bought him from... Oh my god, I just looked at it. Hanover?
Hamburg, I think.
Hamburg. I just looked at it 2 seconds ago and I've already forgot. Yep, I bought him from Hamburg for 6.8 million. And he is playing in my That's my phone. He's playing in my Leverkusen team as my target man, and he is cleaning up. He's pulling in about 7.8 in the Champions League. He's pulling in between a 7 and an 8 in most competitions. And despite not having particularly great stats, I think the tactic just works for him. Him and Chicharito, Hernandez, whatever, both work, is just banging them in for me. Especially against Ludogorets. I think he got a hat-trick and so did Hernandez.
It's not difficult to beat Ludo Goretz now, in fairness.
The way that I beat them, though, it was it would like have to get shown after the watermark for brutality. It was 5-0 within 20 minutes.
Nice.
But I'll let you go on yours.
My player of the week this week, or my man of the match, is from my new club, F91 Dulalang in Luxembourg. I've taken over the Luxembourg's team, and my first player of the week is from there. Emmanuel Lapierre is French. And I mean, I've only been here 12 games, but Lapierre has made a real impression on me. He's a very solid player. He was voted my player of the season last season by my fans quite comprehensively. And it really shows. He's been absolutely stellar at the wing-back position, where I play him as on the right. He loves to exploit the space on that right-hand side. He loves to go forward. He managed to get 8 assists and even 2 goals in 24 matches during the entire season and got a 7.69 average rating. And I mean, looking at his stats, he's 32 now, so his pace isn't as vibrant as it used to be, but he's still got quite good stats. I mean, crossing and dribbling for a Luxembourg player is not too bad, in fairness. He's got a lot of experience with him, and he just signed a new contract as well, so happy days. He's my man of the match.
Lapierre, is he from Luxembourg, yeah?
I think he has a second nationality. In fact, no, he's French/Cameroonian. So he's actually not from... he's not a native of Luxembourg yet.
I was going to say, does he get classed as EU or foreign?
I'd say Luxembourg's in the EU, so I'm guessing he's not foreign.
But he's not counting as Cameroon, like...
No, he's fully French... at the moment.
And is he playing as a winger for you, or is he just
He kind of fills in as an auxiliary winger at times, but I play him pretty much as a wing back most of the time. Not actually as the wing back, but playing him in the wing back role.
Yeah.
If you get
It seems like he's declining a hell of a lot.
Well, he's 32 now, so he's kind of losing the spark a bit, but he's pulling in great performances, very solid performances through and throughout.
Yeah, it's probably the mentals that are keeping him relevant then.
Yeah, he's got good teamwork and work rate as well, so he still has it, and he's naturally fit, so he can play most matches.
I'll let you keep going on, and you can just go right into your headline.
Yeah, my headliner this week was changing my tactic, because I got a bit of a plague of injuries coming towards the end of the season. And basically, we were pretty much without a striker. And my only striker, who could only half play there, was missing some glorious opportunities. And we were almost at the stage where we weren't scoring in 3 or 4 matches. So what I did was go in a full hipster and go in for a strikerless formation, playing a 4-2-4-0 wide. So you're playing with 4 at the back, 2 midfielders, and then you basically have 4 attacking midfielders, 1 on the left, 1 on the right, and 2 in the centre. And it's been working very well. I won the last 4 games of the season quite comprehensively. And we just beat Petange 4-3. Thanks to the strikerless formation. And yeah, that's my headliner this week, was Tactical Brilliance by yours truly.
My headliner this week, though, is demolishing Ludo Goretz in the Champions League. Because 5-0 in 20 minutes, and it finished 8-2.
I'd hate to be a Ludo Goretz fan.
Yeah, it was away.
Away?
Everything went right. It was a hat-trick for Lasoga, a hat-trick for Hernandez, Lars Bender got one, is it Kieran Campbell? Christian Campbell? Campbell got 2, and Mbolo got a header.
Of course, Braille Mbolo signed for you.
Yeah, he was the first name on my list. I always make the agreement that I don't sign people based on previous saves, unless my scout recommends them. But like, as soon as you start up the game, he's like, hey, there's this guy in Switzerland that's pretty good. Maybe you've heard of him. And I'm like, yes.
I think you just deliberately scout the Basel team, and then he comes up five star.
It might be because he's on it's on my favourite teams that I get scouting knowledge of him, and it sends a scout off.
Yeah, it could be that.
Because I do get reports on the SPL and the Swiss Super League.
I think you have your subscriptions. Like, if you start the game and you choose your favourite teams,
yeah, but I do,
you get the subscriptions.
I know what you mean, but I do get scouts sent there, no matter what save I do. So I think it might be something like your scouts will always check out your favourite teams.
Yeah, perhaps. I haven't seen that happen to me yet.
That's something to test. Maybe you've not got a good enough scouting to send.
The only nation I can scout at the moment is Luxembourg, so
I'm pretty screwed. Have you tried to get any like Man United reserves in yet?
I'm actually affiliated with Udinese in Italy, so I'm sponging off their players, youth prospects.
They have a not bad youth academy as well.
They have actually a very good youth academy. I'm getting some really good regens from there. So we can ask this then.
Yep, on you go.
I took over Dula Lang from Flora Tallinn, and everything was looking pretty good. I had only 12 games to play for the remainder of the season, and we only lost one of them. We actually only lost one of the 12 games I was in charge, and that was to Fola Esch, losing by 1-0. But we got loads of wins, got pretty comprehensive wins, but unfortunately, despite our best efforts, we only finished fourth in the league, just ahead of Differdange. But it was kind of a big mountain to climb. I think we were 15 points off the European spots when I took over. So, I mean, despite my best efforts, we couldn't get there in the end. Also had to survive another takeover, because our chairman's love to retire after the first season when I'm in charge. And if I remember the Portadown days, I already got sacked from a takeover, but kept my job. We got 2 million pumped into our finances, so we're pretty much rich for a team from Luxembourg. So everything's looking rosy, and we started off the season with a 4-3 victory, so everything's looking good.
In Germany, it's Leverkusen sitting top right now. I've dropped 5 points. I don't think it's 10 games. I think it's 15. Because I drew with Stuttgart because I went down to 10 men early in. And I lost to Dortmund because I went down to 10 men. Because Wendell is an idiot in big games. Likes getting two yellow cards anytime there's a decent winger up against him.
Have you not played Bayern Munich yet?
No, I have not.
Well, you're in for a treat, I'd say.
I actually think I'll beat Bayern. I think my formation...
It's going to be very tough to beat Bayern. Very tough.
I'm going to play in the counter, and I think my formation on the counter is a good counter to theirs. Because they're going to push their wingers up, and I'm going to play the ball through the centre, ball over the top to Wasoga. Or who will either head it down to Hernandez or score with a header. Actually, Faith, I think Dortmund are going to be the team that are my antithesis in this league.
I'll light a candle for you anyway.
I believe in Leverkusen.
Was that meant to be a song reference, or?
It could have been. I don't know.
I believe in miracles.
Damn it, that's going to be in my head now. I'm enjoying my time in Germany. It's been a nice little break. One day when I've got spare time, I'll probably try and play the crash dumping Celtic save until I get the result that I got fairly. Fucking man.
The match you have to keep saving and reloading.
Yep, because fuck off. Fuck off. I'm like, it was a 1-0 loss. It's not as if I beat them like 4-1. It was a 1-0 loss that got me through. That's all I want. That's all I want is to lose 1-0.
Just shut up shop and then, you know, battle for your life.
But then that if I shut up shop, that's when they start dominating in like four goals.
They get a better defender, so I don't know.
Whatever. I'll eventually go there and fix it. But I believe this is your section coming up.
No, because I only seem to put in the effort every week. We're transfers because I'm in 2025 now. So I'm quite a bit into the world of Football Manager. So a lot of weird things are happening. Alexis Sanchez has actually gone back to Udinese. Unfortunately, I can't loan him because he's just too big a player to join a Luxembourg team. So unfortunately, I can't sign him. But he's gone back to Udinese because I think that's where he started off and then moved to Barcelona and then Arsenal. But he moved back from Arsenal to Udinese. Marcus Rashford's now at Rotherham. He moved on a free transfer. He's playing in Championship. Danny Ings moved to China. He's now at Hebei China Fortune, or Fortune. I'm guessing it's Fortune. Another free transfer. And N'Golo Kante has gone to Real Sociedad on a free transfer from Leicester.
Transfer from Leicester?
Yeah, he's 34 now, so...
Still a free. They could have got something for him, sure.
I think maybe his contract just ran out. I don't know.
I suppose it seems like in season 2 to 3, a lot of contracts just get let to run down, even when they're still useful.
Yeah, unfortunately so, but you can't really argue with the weirdness.
Yeah, it's weird.
It makes it kind of interesting.
I'm hoping that if I get back to my Celtic save relatively soon next week, I'll be able to, pardon me, contribute to weird transfers again. But because I'm on a fresh save, there's not much going on.
So pretty much this out of the ordinary stuff. No.
Yeah. I mean, like, hell, Germany looks like pretty much your standard thing. Like, transfers that have happened are pretty much what would happen in real life.
It's actually the same in my save. I think Bayern have a lot of players that are still playing with them at the start of the game.
They still
have Lewandowski and they have David Alaba.
I've seen someone say that Podolski likes to go to Bayern and FM, but I've never seen it happen.
Yeah, Podolski's probably retired on my game.
I am loading up FM for the next section and having trouble.
Yeah, he finished his career at Gladbach. So he likes to go back to Germany, but probably not Bayern Munich.
Gladbach. Are they top division, or they went down the way?
Yeah, Borussia Mönchengladbach, they're in the Bundesliga.
Yeah, I've seen them go down the way and become a threat. Like, they seem to be one of those teams that can go either way.
Yeah. I think they're good in real life.
Yeah,
I kind of follow them in the Bundesliga as opposed to Bayern or Dortmund.
I just don't follow the Bundesliga, to be honest with you.
I think it's quite a good league, to be fair. If you just take the Bayern Munich out of the equation, I mean... Other great teams are in there, like Schalke, Leverkusen, Gladbach, Wolfsburg.
It's just for me, I seem to find it hard to kind of actually see most football this dinner.
Yeah. It's interesting that Blazikowski's now moved to Wolfsburg in real life.
Apparently, at my Leverkusen save, I've got the best goalkeeping coaching, defensive coaching, scouting team, and physios.
I guess that's... pretty much everything then.
No, I've not got anything besides goalkeeping and defending and coaching. But looking at manager watch now, who do you have at Galatasaray?
Let me just check Galatasaray.
I've probably just got the standards, so.
Cem Karaşan is the Galatasaray manager. He's a former Reading player.
I've got Denizli, who I think is the actual manager.
Well, that's put a damper on things. That's quite weird, actually. It's great to see now if players are now taking over teams.
What's the name of that team? Transopor?
Transopspor.
I'm trying to...
Yeah, Transopspor.
I don't think I've got them on my save.
Trabzonspor have actually won the last two Turkish leagues. Ahead of Galatasaray and Beşiktaş and Fenerbahçe. They're obviously doing something right. Their manager is Hami Mandirali, who I think has pretty much been there through the entire FM career.
Have you got anything at Basel? I've got just the standards at Basel as well.
Basel are managed by Urs Fischer.
Yeah, he's
pretty much the same.
He's stayed there since 2015 then.
Yep. Ten years.
Are they still dominating Switzerland?
Actually, they're not. FC Zurich won it in 2022. And then Young Boys have come in and dominated from 23 to 25.
Young Boys always seem to do well in FM. I don't know why.
Yeah, Basel's reign seems to have stopped in its tracks.
For one more, Ludogorets.
Ludogorets? Jesus. It's not like you to go to obscure nations all of a sudden.
Well, Switzerland and... Switzerland always have an interest in.
Ludogorets, I don't have the league loaded, so I can't see their manager.
I got Ludogorets' manager sacked in my save. Oh, brilliant. I didn't even
Wait,
realize
you're,
that.
You're laughing at somebody losing their job. That's charming.
Well, consider this. They're doing well enough to be in the Champions League group stage.
Ludogorets have won the last 14 Bulgarian leagues for me.
Yeah, I beat them that bad that despite them being top of the league unbeaten domestically and in the Champions League group stage, he still got sacked. That's how badly I beat them.
Do you want to know who's the new Celtic manager?
It's going to be someone that you find hilarious. So
no, it's not even.
Effie Ambrose?
No, it's not hilarious. Paul Hartley is the new Celtic manager.
You know what? I could see that happening.
Yeah. But it's funny because Ronnie Dyla is now at Spurs.
Yeah, we were talking about that. That's mad. I've never seen him do well on FM.
He actually did very well. He moved... he continuously won trophies at Celtic until 2022, moved to Leicester. And now he's the Spurs manager.
I might have a weird transfer, actually. Fabian Schär has went from Basel to Hoffenheim.
Yeah, that's all right. It's not weird, but it's kind of different. If you get me, I'm actually going to look through all. I'm actually going to look through the English league and just see, because there's a lot of weird ones actually that have come through. Liverpool are now managed by Pochettino. Alex Neil is the Newcastle manager. Just trying to. Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank's at Swansea. Scott Dan is the Watford manager. Arsenal are now managed by Jurgen Klopp.
That would be a good fit.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a weird career. He moved from Liverpool to Germany, then to Dortmund, and now to Arsenal. So it's quite arbitrary. Diego Simeone is the new Chelsea manager, which was kind of speculated throughout the season. And Frank de Boer is the new Leicester City manager. That's about all I can muster up for manager watch.
Well, with that, we'll quickly move right ahead to Simon's question time.
Simon Sarico. Our only fan, our only loyal fan. We should have a jingle every time he asks us a question.
I quite like the idea of giving him a mariachi. Like,
he's not Mexican.
I know. I just like the mariachi noise. It's catchy. But will Darren Carrigan ever do a non-Celtic save? No. This Leverkusen save is all a lie, and the screenshots are fabricated from David's saves.
Every FM will always have Darren doing a Celtic save, no matter what.
Yeah, obviously. It's my team.
I don't manage the team I support. I only do, you know, teams I don't support. Obscure teams. Maybe the odd top flight save, but I think it's unethical to do your own team on FM. Because if you fuck it up, then you're the one to blame. Why, you will never manage your own club.
Yep. I don't mind that at all. I enjoy managing Celtic. I feel like I get more involved in the game because it's Celtic, even if it's players who will never sign for Celtic in real life. Like Christian Pavon isn't going to come from Boca Juniors to be captain within two seasons. But still, I enjoy it because it's green and white hoops and it's Celtic FC.
Mm. Could easily do that with Yeovil Town and League Two. Yeah, green and white hoops.
And Celtic FC.
Or Shamrock Rovers.
But who wants to manage in Ireland?
Not me.
Yep.
I can guarantee our league is shite.
He's also got one that's kind of... Simon's also got a question that's directed at you. Since you like to play with strikers.
Well, will strikers in FM17 be nerfed due to the exploits of Guido Merry? I don't think it will. I think strikeless is pretty much the same as, downloading tactics on the Steam Workshop. It's simple, just, constructing, tactics based around strikeless formations. I think that's very interesting, and it's kind of given me a new perspective on how football tactics are created as we know it. So I think strikeless has actually given me more of an understanding about how to use shadow strikers and how to exploit certain areas in the pitch without using the striker. I feel you cover a lot more of the pitch because of it. And that's why I use them quite a lot.
See, that's one thing I find weird is that teams don't respond to certain tactics. It seems like there's one every year that kind of messes with the AI a lot. And I think for some reason strikerless is that this year. It's as if you don't have an out-and-out centre-forward, the back four or back three just or back five just don't pick up on it right and don't react to it right.
I just don't think they expect it.
Yeah, it's
and
weird.
And that's pretty much why it seems to work so well. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It kind of also depends on the kind of pitch you're playing on and whether it's a long and narrow pitch where you can play more direct or a short pitch where it's kind of ideal to play strikeless formation because you can cover the pitch quite a lot, and that's what I use quite often in my Guernsey save, was using a shorter pitch so we could cover more of the ground. And like if somebody's using, an advanced forward or something, they keep getting offside because of it. It's kind of playing like a higher press and then people getting frustrated by the whole fact that the pitch is really short. So like the direct football is not going to affect their play, and I mean if you play a short passing play with a strikeless formation, you're going to exploit a lot more of that space. And that's kind of why I've been reading into Guido's blogs and his posts. They're actually very, very in-depth analysis, and I think he's definitely one I would keep an eye on. So strikeless, I think, is his website. And his blog and his Twitter are all there as well. So I'd give it a check out, because strikeless formations seem to be the new thing that are evaporating out of football terms now.
Well, our final one is from Mr. Strikerless himself, Guido Merry. Have you ever successfully used a libero? Nope.
No, but I think I used a sweeper one time.
I think Chris used one.
I know. I think he used it in the draft mode, I think, at one time. I think he was playing like five at the back and he was using either a sweeper or a libero.
I think he was using a De Jong as a libero in one of them.
Possibly, I don't know.
That's a way back to the first draft, though, so I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know what really goes into a libero and how it differs from a sweeper.
Pretty much.
I'm pretty sure he has a write-up on it somewhere.
It's pretty much Van Dijk at Celtic is how I would describe it. Like, he's willing to go and be a centre midfielder sometimes. You know.
Yeah, but like, liberos sit behind the... I think you're mistaking it with a regista.
No, regista's the defensive midfield one.
Yeah, I'm talking about the one who sits behind the defensive line.
Yeah,
kind of in between that gap between the striker and the... Or sorry, not the striker, the goalkeeper and the defender.
Yeah, but it still goes forward, I believe. Like, it still ends up being like a regista. It just starts from deeper.
I don't know. I've never really looked at it in depth. maybe that could be something I could check up on if I want to go the full hipster strikerless formation with a libero.
Yeah, you could give it a go.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I have to answer on that, I'm afraid.
I think that's the end of our show tonight, because I have to go throw my guts up.
Lovely. I mean, why just say goodbye to everyone? You can just give them vile, gory details on the podcast.
Oh, trust me,
And you wonder why we don't have many listeners.
I think it's because we have Dirk on the show personally.
Dirk hasn't been on the show in weeks. Don't make that excuse now.
They're avoiding him. They don't know that he's gone. They don't know they can come back and be happy and enjoy happy fun times with David and Dan.
It's almost as if he's like Donald Trump. Everyone's just hiding away because they're black or Mexican.
I honestly expected better. Like, if you're going to go
I'm extremely hungover and tired, so that's the best I can offer.
Well, on that, don't forget to follow us at Centre Circle Pod. I believe that's it, on Twitter.
On Twitter.
You can get us at SoundCloud, iTunes. I think we're still under FM Society's podcast, or have we changed it?
No, I think if you just search Centre Circle Podcast on iTunes, you will find it.
You can get me on Twitter at Darren_Carrigan if for some reason you want to listen to silence. You are at DZNY Official.
DZNY Official, though I never really use Twitter, but you can find my Facebook page, facebook.com/DBSC16, and my little blog on Sorted Out SI under Climbing Jacob's Ladder.
And lastly, if you want to get in touch with us about the podcast, you can email me at scottishwolf@hotmail.co.uk. Doco.co.uk. What the hell would Doco be? Count Dooku's email server. Anyway, with that, we're done. And I will see you next Monday, where hopefully I will have a lot more content. I've been Darren, thank you for joining me. David?
Yeah, au revoir, suckers.
I believe in miracles. Since you came along, you sexy thing. Every night and day for, every day. Kiss me, darling.